Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
A pleasant good day to you. Welcome to Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. Within the next 30 minutes, I will be speaking to two of the gentlemen from within the Ministry of Finance, Mr. Michael Stephen and Mr. Randy Cadet, the Microeconomic Policy Unit. And we'll be speaking specifically about what is happening within that unit. As you know, every time we sit and talk with someone from within the Ministry of Finance, we try to have a clear understanding of what is happening within the Ministry of Finance. We take a word from our sponsors. We come back as we continue our discussion here with Mr. Michael Stephen and Mr. Randy Cadet from inside the Ministry of Finance. I am Stanford Simon, your host.
To all our listeners and supporters of the SGBC radio programs, you can now download the SGBC app on your Android phone. Go to the Play Store and get involved. Listen to some great music, great preaching, sermonette, testimonies. Great things happening at the SGBC, Grenada.com, and the app is available to you. Go download it from the Play Store to your Android phone. SGBC, it is available to you. An app that you can use wherever you are. Music will be available to you. Wherever you are now, you do not have to wonder, where is the radio? Download it on your Android phone and carry it with you wherever you go. The SGBC app is available to you in the Play Store.
Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon, as I indicated to you earlier, and with me is Mr. Michael Stephen and Mr. Randy Cadet, who form the Ministry of Finance Microeconomic Policy Unit. Good day to you, gentlemen.
Good day to you, Pastor Simon. Thank you for having us here on this program today.
And, well, you all look sharp and ready to go, and pretty young, too.
Relatively young.
All right. Now, the first question I'll ask, Michael, let me start with you. How long have you been within that department?
Actually, Pastor, I have been there since October of 2010. In fact, I was one of the founding staffers of the macro policy unit, myself and another colleague.
Okay. And Mr. Kane?
I joined the unit in March of 2013. Prior to that, I taught at the St. Joseph's Convent St. George's for almost 9 years. Mm-hmm. I came out to the ministry in 2012 and I joined the unit in 2013.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the big question a number of people would be asking, what are the key functions of the policy unit and how is that impacting the country? What did it give to us?
Mm-hmm. Well, the policy unit has a very broad agenda. In fact, we look at macroeconomic surveillance of the economy. And when we say macroeconomic surveillance, we speak of fiscal performance and the economic performance of the economy. Right? We also provide policy advice to the cabinet via the Permanent Secretary of Ministry of Finance and the Deputy Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Finance. We also provide research and analysis, right, on various areas in the economy. And we also coordinate implementation of the regional agenda in terms of CARICOM and the OECS Secretariat. So those are the main areas of responsibility of the macro policy unit.
So how is economic growth measured? How do you measure that? We've heard about it and we hear you talk about it, but how is that measured?
Thank you for that question, Pastor. Economic growth, as you are aware, might, you know, it's a very topical issue as we speak. But the first thing that should jump out at you is GDP. When you hear economic growth, you hear about GDP, which stands for the gross domestic product. And what is commonly used, there are three approaches that are commonly used. The income approach, where you look at the income of all the households, income from the firms. You look at the expenditure approach, where you look at all the expenses paid by households, firms, and the government. And what we use in Grenada and throughout the region is the production approach. There you look at the production of goods and services produced within the economy within 1 year. So after out of the three approaches, we use the production approach to measure our GDP.
and that give us, like when you hear they said, well, the economy grow by 2%.
Right.
Is that you measure, you're using that to measure it?
Right, right. Just to appreciate that our economy is very diversified. So when we report our GDP figures, we measure it according to different sectors. So for example, you have agricultural sector, you have traditional crops. How is nutmeg going? How is cocoa going? How is banana going? How is fruits and vegetables? You also have construction. We use imports of construction materials as an indicator for that sector. When we speak about tourism, we look at arrivals, we look at stayover visitors. So all these indicators represent the different sectors of the economy, and we capture them in our total GDP.
So how then do you, or can you explain for us, the difference between the nominal growth and real growth?
Nominal growth, real growth, there are two flavors of GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Nominal growth looks at how the economy is performing using current prices. And real growth deals with how the economy is performing using constant prices. I will go through each one in details. When one speaks about nominal GDP, you look at the prices that are currently existing in the economy and the quantity of goods produced currently in the economy. So you compare your current price with your current quantity and you multiply them together. That's current. When you speak to real, you hold prices constant because inflation can affect the way economies perform. So to compare like with like, we tend to hold inflation constant. And so to get real GDP, you use constant prices. Sometimes the base year could be 2001, could be 2002. In our case, the base year is 2006. And we use current production. So current production levels, 2014, like last year, multiplied by base year prices, constant prices, 2006 prices, you get real GDP. So essentially, nominal GDP looks at today's price with today's quantity, and real GDP looks at today's quantity with yesterday's price.
So that leads me to the next question. I guess many of us would want you to explain that to us. What has been the level of real growth in Grenada in the past 5 years? When you're talking real growth, people say, well, the government talking about growth, but we ain't seen nothing, man, still in trouble. There's still problems and I can't find a job.
Right,
but
right.
Government talking growth, explain that.
An economy can grow positively and it can contract negative.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if real GDP is over zero, you have positive growth. If real GDP is under zero, you have a contraction. For example, in 2009, the economy would have contracted, that's negative, by -5.63%. In 2010, it would have contracted even further by -1.99%. 2011, it grew by 0.14, a small growth. In 2012, it contracted relative to that particular period, -0.58. In 2013, it grew by 3.18. And now in 2014, it grew by 4.85. It's important to say here that when one speaks about economic growth, you look at it relative to the previous year. But what we did in the policy unit, we look at our performance now compared to when the financial crisis started, sometime in 2008, 2009. So in 2009, let's allow me please, in 2008, for example, our real GDP was $2.21 billion. The economy contracted in 2009, contracted further in 2010, grew in 2011, grew in contracted in 2012, grew in 2013, and grew in 2014. As it stands now, our real GDP, measured in millions of dollars, is $2.23 billion. So the economy, although it is growing, we are still in recovery mode, because we are basically at the same level that we were in 2008.
Okay. Just quickly, explain for my listeners and viewers, what is GDP? Because some of you may be asking, what are you talking about GDP? Just explain that a little
bit. It's a gross domestic product. It's a total value of all the goods and services produced within the walls, within the boundaries of Grenada over a period of time. And that period of time is usually 1 year.
1 year, in terms of that. Now, so with all of that, we have been hearing a lot recently about the primary balanced. What does that mean, and why is it important to government management of the policy debt? How do we put that into a frame?
Well, thank you for that question, Pastor Simon. That's a very important question. The primary balance is a very critical variable in analyzing the fiscal operations of government, organizations' financial operations. The primary balance mathematically can be described as the total revenues minus all non-interest expenditure. So you subtract all expenditures government incur, except those that are referred to as debt, right? Debt servicing. So the primary balance, in fact, before the period in 2013, we achieved negative 4% of GDP primary balance. In 2014, we targeted 2.4% of GDP as the primary balance, but we actually achieved 1.2% of GDP. So we surpassed that target handsomely. In 2015, we are projecting 1.3% of GDP, a primary surplus actually, right? So actually, before 2015, we were achieving primary deficits, right? In that our revenues were below our expenditures.
Okay, so we were spending more than we received.
Yeah, we were spending more than we were receiving. So in 2015, we are projecting a primary surplus. And that surplus would have been the first in the past 10 years of government operations. So you can see that the homegrown program actually is providing dividends to the financial operations of government. In terms of the relationship between the primary balance and debt, we tend to want to generate a primary surplus in order for the debt to GDP ratio to be on a downward trajectory, right? So that the debt, the overall debt stock of the country will be declining relative to the GDP of the country, as my colleague explained a few minutes ago. Basically, that's
it. So, in other words, Grenada at this point with the homegrown program, you were saying that we're doing far better in terms of our debt management after the homegrown program was introduced than before.
Yes, we have received a slight decline in the debt to GDP ratio, and because of the restructuring efforts that are now on stream, we will receive even greater dividends going forward.
I'm speaking here today to Mr. Michael Stephen and Randy Cadet, who is from the Ministry of Finance Microeconomic Policy Unit, and we're talking about finance and how best looking at government debt and where we are and the management of that. I am Stanford Simon. Take a word from our sponsors. We come back and I continue my discussion here with these two distinguished gentlemen from the Ministry of Finance.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs, backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back, viewers. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. It's always a joy to be with you as always. Today within this program, I have with me Mr. Michael Stephen and Mr. Randy Cadet, who from the Ministry of Finance Microeconomic Policy Unit. And we're talking today about government debt and where we are, understanding growth and seeing how best we can put it into perspective so you can understand that. Gentlemen, I thank you so much for being with us again as we chat about this. Now, I understand that Grenada has the lowest tax effort in the OECS as the start of the homegrown program, which was quite interesting for me to learn. What is tax effort and where is Grenada now? If you can explain to us in clarity, because a number of my viewers and listeners are wondering, okay, fine, what exactly is this?
Well, Pastor Simon, you are correct. We were at actually the lowest level in terms of the tax effort in the OECS. Before the homegrown program, looking at the year 2013, the tax effort. Well, first, I must define what tax effort is.
Right, I was going to ask you to define that because, yes.
The tax effort actually is the total tax revenue divided by the GDP level in the country. Mm. And when I say GDP level, I'm talking about the nominal GDP, right? Not real GDP.
Well, explain that, nominal GDP and real GDP. What's...
Well, my colleague explained that nominal... The basic difference between nominal GDP and real GDP is that the inflation, the price level, is removed from the real GDP.
Okay.
Right? So that is the basic difference. Yeah. Right. So in terms of the tax effort, in 2013, Grenada was around 16.7% of GDP, right? The lowest in the OECS. In 2014, we had an improvement in the tax effort. We moved to 90% of GDP. Right? So that was lovely. In 2015, we are also predicting an improvement in the tax effort to 19.4% of GDP. So we can see that the trajectory of the tax effort is upward, and that is good. And why is that good? Because Grenada's resource envelope will improve, and government will be able to provide more resources to the population because we'll be collecting a larger level of revenue.
Mm.
Right? So that will go back to the population in terms of the provision of goods and services.
So you mean there'll be more money in government hands?
Well, you can say so, yes. But the money will be used for the provision of goods and services, and it will also be used for the capital expenditure program,
right,
which, as you know, is the main driver of economic activity in our small islands in the Caribbean.
Right, well, I'm going back to the question now, because it is a problem where persons find it difficult to understand. Mm-hmm. When government talk about growth, there is growth in the economy, but they're saying, I'm not seeing it, I am not feeling it. Why?
Well, good is not cash. Right? Good is not cash. It's a quantifiable variable used and measured by our GDP, gross domestic product. And because of the structure of our economy, the diversified nature of our economy, based on which sector you might be a part of. So, for example, let's take a practical example. If you are actually in the construction sector and you have a construction boom taking place, you will feel that growth because relative to your sector. But if that sector that you're part of is not seeing the level of investment that you would like, you will say, you know what, I am not feeling it. But because of the nature of the economy, it's so diversified, and the growth that we experience here, it's not inclusive. So going forward, one of the mandates of the Ministry of Finance and the government at extension is to ensure that whatever growth that we are having is sustained and it's all-inclusive. So, in other words, we can have all the wheels of the economy growing at the same time, at the same rate.
Okay. Thank you for that. Because there's always a question. People are saying, well, I hear this growth thing government talking about, but I'm not feeling it.
Yes.
So it's a matter of, you may feel it in the sector that you're in, but not on a holistic way. So people must be mindful of that.
So, for example, in 2013, the construction sector take the lead in growth. In 2014, it was agriculture, it was tourism. And SGU is always there.
Okay, so you had that thing. Now, what are the key measures for a certain government competitiveness? And what is being done to improve it?
I smile at that question. And I smile because we cannot be serious about economic growth without focusing on improving the way we do business, improving our investment climate, improving our competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
The World Bank, for example, they issue a World Bank Doing Business report. And it's something that's published throughout the world. We pay attention to the reviews of that particular report. The report actually acts as a tool to stimulate regulatory framework. So for example, in that report, you will find the time, the cost it takes, the procedures taken to get your construction permits. You will also find in the report the ease of getting credit from a commercial bank, how long it will take to start a business. Also in the report, you will find the ease, the documents that you need to trade across borders, to import and to export. Also, you will find there the cost of solving certain issues in the court. So resolving insolvency, for example, the time taken to recover debt, the court fees, the lawyer fees, all those are indicators to measure your competitiveness.
So that in itself, meaning that for Grenada to be effective and efficient compared to the other OECS countries and some countries in the world. It means there are a number of things that government have to do to make business run smoother and have access to the things that need to start a business or to do business in.
And that is so correct. That is so correct. And so far, we have been doing a lot. Government is very committed in reforming and structuring the whole economy. For example, if you look at agriculture, we would have commercialized at least 2 estates. Investment Act was passed in 2014. Mm-hmm. We have made our investment code equivalent to international standards. We have also amended some of our principal acts. Some include Income Tax Act, the VAT Act, and making incentive packages more transparent so investors know upfront what they are capable of getting. Currently, as we speak, efforts are being taken to reform the electricity sector by ultimately reducing the cost of energy, because energy is a productive variable. And we cannot grow the economy if we have the cost of it.
Right. So that in itself. So those are the things that are important and government is working on. Is this unit part of helping to make that happen?
Yes, indeed it is. In fact, as my colleague said, we are focusing on the attainment of the different areas of the doing business agenda. Mm-hmm. In fact, I must note as well that the doing business measure is a moving target. So in any one year, I mean, we could be doing a lot, right? But because other countries are doing more than us, they will move ahead and we may slip in the doing business ranking. So governments and countries need to always be on the ball in terms of the improvements in the 10 items or addressed by my colleague.
Okay, so it's important that we constantly work at it.
Exactly.
It's not something you could be stagnant wait for something to happen.
No.
Okay. Now, why do you think the preparation for the National Plan 2030 is important, and what are your expectations? You within the microeconomic policy unit have a responsibility, I guess, in helping us as a country to prepare for that. I mean, the bigger plan is there, but the detail of executing that plan, I'm sure a lot would fall with you to ensure that some things are kept in line. Talk to us about that. Why?
Well, I will go first on this. The National Development Plan 2030 is a 15-year plan, right? It's long-term, and as you see, it may even span beyond the life of any one political party. Right, so the plan in its construct involves the sitting government, opposition, and other citizenry. So those persons will come together and they will agree on Grenada's economic growth path going forward. Right, so I expect from that plan that the collective aspirations of the Grenadian people will be imbued in that plan, so that we can all have buy-in in terms of the plan. So at the end of the day, when that plan is tabled in June of 2016, the population can say that, you know, I had a part in it. The persons that were developing the plan came to my village, they started me, we held discussions, and the result is something that I can own, you know, as my own.
So you're saying critically, you think it is important because it helped us to do what, in your own mind?
Well, it will help us to achieve economic growth and development, sustained economic growth and development going forward.
That is critical.
Yeah, that is very critical.
There is a lot of talk about how the economy grow, as you would say, and what is happening. Government is talking about it. There are some major projects coming, what we call construction projects. Quickly, could you tell us, in your mind, how do you see that impacting the economy?
Construction accounts for almost 8-9% of our GDP. So whenever the construction sector is doing well, it acts as an indicator for other sectors to do well as well. Because construction provides a stimulus, trickle-down effect. So the taxi drivers, if you're constructing a hotel, the taxi drivers will eventually benefit, and the bus drivers will eventually benefit. For example, if you were to look at Silver Sands project, that is currently on stream, a lot of traffic is being taken place down there. The truck drivers, they can tell you straight up that they get a lot of business right now. Grandance is very busy as it stands. Construction, as I said earlier, is an indicator for other particular sectors to grow. Mm-hmm.
So you were saying with where you are within the macroeconomic unit that there are indicators clearly defining your own development, but also the development of the country. And you are seeing that happening within your unit.
Yes, it's happening. It's happening. I mean, the rate of growth is not what we like it to see in terms of the rate. We like to see 5, 6, 7, 8% growth if we were to seriously create a dent in our unemployment. But 3% in 2013, 4% in 2014, I think we can tap ourselves on the shoulder, but we are not yet out. We have to start being more productive and grow the economy at a faster rate.
That's right. All right, any final thoughts as we conclude this time together? Anything you'd like to share as we end this time?
Well, Pastor, thank you. The primary balance, I mean, I like to focus on government financial operations because that is one of my areas of speciality. The fact that we are projecting a primary surplus this year is a great achievement. It shows that we are finally spending within our boundaries, mm-hmm. right? Our revenues are performing well. And that doesn't mean that government is awash with money, because obviously we have a debt of $2.4 billion that we need to service, right? And the majority of these funds are going to go towards servicing the national debt mm-hmm. and towards capital expenditure that's going to create jobs, mm-hmm. Sustainable jobs mm-hmm. Going forward. So because the government financial operations is improving in terms of the primary balance, I am hopeful that going forward, the economy will do better as a result.
Okay.
Pastor, I want to say thank you on the Affirmation of Finance for this gesture. I think it's very important for the nation to be informed. I want to let the nation know that the Ministry of Finance is very committed. We will remain focused on ensuring that information is brought to the nation upfront, direct, very transparent. And as our mantra said, STAR, you know, shared sacrifice, teamwork, accountability, and results. So we are driven by results. And I want to say to everybody, let's all work together and help the economy.
Thank you, gentlemen, there, Mr. Michael Stephen and Mr. Randy Cadet, the Microeconomic Policy Unit. I am Sanford Simon, really a joy speaking to these two gentlemen, as we have shared an understanding what growth is. And as you rightly said, there are different sectors of the economy, and not because you said government say growth, you're looking forward to construction, may grow 1 year, and then you have the tourism industry and agriculture would help the economy another. For us, we have to understand clearly that each of us have to make shared sacrifice as we seek to build this beautiful land of ours. And I do hope as we continue to share thoughts with you here inside the Ministry of Finance every week, I do hope that this has been a transparent and open discussion where you yourself have a better understanding what is happening within the Ministry of Finance. I want to thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with me here today. I am Stanford Simon, thanking you again for being with us. Join us here next week at the same time for another program of Inside Finance. Have a blessed week.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.